Amen. Amen. Awesome. Well, why don't as we take up the offering, it is my enormous pleasure to introduce our guest speaker for this evening. He is a Brisbane boy, Pastor Joel Bagnall, but he and his wife moved over to Europe, to Denmark, and they pastor a church there. He's also been involved in a huge youth movement over there as well. So, King's Church, why don't you give Pastor Joel a very warm welcome. Come on up, Pastor Joel.
Amen. Amen, amen. Good evening, everybody. Just one person. Thank you for being polite. It's been a while since I've been in Australia, and I've just forgotten how polite everybody is. So thank you for the warm reception. It's my honor to be here tonight. I've known Pastor Ben and Pastor Trish for a few years now. It could be going on a decade, possibly, which is kind of terrifying to admit. But I have such a huge respect for them and their ministry. Pastor Ben was my Bible college principal back in the days. And I'm just so, indebted to the investment that Pastor Ben and Trish have put in my life in ministry. And it's really, I guess, what I'm walking in now is partly a part of their fruit. So let's give it up for your pastors. Your awesome senior pastors, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. And as Pastor Noah said, I'm a Brizzy boy. So also, thank you for allowing me to come south to the Gold Coast, the lovely, lovely Gold Coast. And these days, my wife and I are based in Copenhagen. 3 years ago, at the end of 2016, God called us to move to Europe to start a ministry called Lift Leaders. And for the last 3 years, I've been doing laps around Europe, itinerating and just pouring into churches and helping empower the raising of young leaders. And last year, we took a position at a church in Copenhagen called Copenhagen's Frikirke. So do you want to try and say that? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Copenhagen's Frikirke. You know, it's more spiritual in Denmark because we sound like we're speaking in tongues all the time. So Copenhagen's Frikirke. So, and we just absolutely love that place and love what God is doing. And if you're ever on that side of the equator up in Europe, please pop by, stop by and say g'day, and would love to have you with us. So be good. Are you guys ready for the word? Come on. Awesome. You know, I really believe I've got a word for you this evening, and I believe it's going to be a challenge, but challenges are good, especially when you've got a significant call from God on your life. And that's what I really believe. As I was there in worship, I just really felt to encourage you that there isn't just a good call, there isn't just a big call, but there is a significant call of God on this church and everything that it's going to do. It's got a great history, but I know that the best days are yet to come. Do you agree? And so I think you guys are up for a challenge. The kingdom of God is a crazy thing. To be a Christian and to be in the kingdom of God, it's not for the faint-hearted. So I believe you guys will really step up to the challenge tonight. And so let's turn to Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. And here we go. This is what it says. We can rejoice. Man, thank you. It's good. We're getting there. It's good. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials. Oh. What a buzzkill. For we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for these next few moments we have together. Lord, I just ask that you would prepare the soil of our hearts to receive what your word is. God, I just pray that something significant will come out of these moments together. Lord, that we would be built up in our faith. Lord, that we would truly have ears to hear what you're saying. God, I pray that you would just shift and break whatever needs to be broken tonight so that we can grab a hold of the plans, the purposes, the incredible things you have set aside for us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wouldn't it be nice if the world was... No, that I was about to sing, wouldn't it be nice if the world was chocolate? Wouldn't it be nice... Does anyone remember that song? No. What I was going to say was, wouldn't it be nice if everything worked out the way we wanted it to? Can I get an amen? I love it when a plan comes together. I love it. It's so nice. But unfortunately, the reality of life is that many things don't turn out the way we want them to. You know what's even more annoying than that? Is that when we're serving Jesus and when we're doing things for God and he speaks to us and tells us to do some things and it still doesn't seem to work out the way we want it to. That's really frustrating. I have this moment all the time. I find myself, I'm like, God, I'm working here. I'm trying to do some stuff. I'm just trying to do the things you've asked me to do. And it doesn't always seem to work out the way I thought it would. It's quite a crazy thing. Man, I have so many stories about how I've been just really ticked off at God because I expected it to work out one way and then it didn't. You know, I was preaching at a youth rally out in the Faroe Islands last year. Has anyone ever heard of the Faroe Islands? No? Oh, there's one person. Cool. Anyway, it's just group of islands off the north of Scotland on your way to Iceland. Anyway, it was awesome. We're having this youth rally and the place was packed. The Holy Spirit was moving and I was preaching and I was coming into land and I was thinking, yes, this is going to be amazing. People are going to be touched by God. It's going to spark a movement in these islands. And just as I was coming into land, the youth pastor's son climbs up onto the stage, stands on top of the couch next to me and does the biggest stage dive. And face plants right in the middle of the altar. Meeting over. Completely ruined. I was like, God, what are you doing? I'm trying to minister here. I'm trying to do some things. I kid you not, I preached this message twice before, and both times, luckily my son's not here, both times my son has come running down the aisle of the church asking for me at that exact moment. I don't know what's going on. It's crazy. But I hate it. I get so frustrated when things don't work out the way that I would like them to. I was hosting a youth meeting in Copenhagen last year as well, and things were going good. And we had a guest preacher, and the room was full of young people again. And he was saying, you know, he was really like, we'll go on for souls. And again, another really, really pumping meeting. And he was like, Jesus knows your name. Jesus has got a plan for your life. He knows who you are. But the problem was the keyboard player had his laptop open, forgot to shut it down, and that exact moment, Siri pipes up, did it? That contact is not listed. Sometimes I feel like God is working against me. But why do frustrating things happen sometimes? Why do frustrating things happen sometimes? You know, as good Pentecostal Christians, we can be really quick to blame the devil. I mean, that's good. I mean, that's fine. He's a bad guy. We should blame him. That's okay. But, you know, we can be quick to blame the devil. But sometimes God allows some stuff to happen because he wants to shape some things in our life. You know, this journey that you're on called the Christian walk is not a straightforward one. It's not straightforward because the plan and purpose for your life was not created here. Your plan and your purpose, your calling was created in heaven. It was created from God. And the process of life, the process that we go on, is the process of heaven's plan, heaven's bigness being translated in and through me. So that's why sometimes things don't always make sense. But tonight, I want to talk to you. I've got a message called Hallmarks of a Higher Calling. Hallmarks of a Higher Calling. Now, when I say higher calling, yeah, I'm talking to the people here tonight who might feel a call to ministry or might feel like God wants them to be an evangelist or a pastor or a preacher. That's cool. Yeah, I'm talking to you, but I'm actually talking to all of us tonight. Because if you are in Christ, you are living for something so much higher than what the world can offer you. We all have a higher calling. We all have a purpose that was created in heaven, a higher calling. Now, what is a hallmark? What is a hallmark? It's not just a cheesy cable TV channel with warm, fluffy soap shows on. It's not just a pretty greeting card that you give on a birthday. A hallmark originally is an official mark that was stamped on gold and silver articles to attest to their purity or their genuineness. Originally, that's what a hallmark was. It was a mark that was stamped into a precious metal. In this day and age, we use the term a hallmark to describe what we would say a characteristic. So, for instance, a hallmark of somebody who lives on the Gold Coast is that they're really tanned and that they're always relaxed. Is that right? The hallmark of a German is they drive a BMW and they eat schnitzel all the time. Is that right? Characteristics, a hallmark. Now, there's certain signs in our lives that are giveaways that there's a higher purpose that we're living for. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 to 7 says, "So truly be glad." There it is again, that whole starting with the happiness thing. "There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine, that it is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." Three hallmarks of a higher calling. The first hallmark, the first sign that you have a higher calling in your life is that it is bigger than you. The first sign is that it is bigger than you. That's why it doesn't disappoint. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light..." Matthew 5:16. Good. It says, "Let your light so shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." 1 John chapter 4, verses 4. Yeah. Says that the Spirit that lives in you is greater than he who lives in the world. It's actually okay to shine. It's actually okay to live a big and awesome life. I know in Australia we have this thing called tall poppy syndrome. In Denmark, where I live at the moment, they have this thing called Jantelov. It's crazy. It's called Jantelov. It's literally a cultural institution with 11 points saying, "Don't think you are better than us. We know who you are. We know where you come from. Do not think you can excel above us." It is crazy. There is this spiritual stronghold over the Nordic nations that people feel bad when they excel and look like they're doing better than other people. Yeah. But that's actually not how the kingdom of God works. God wants your light to shine so that people will see you and glorify your Father in heaven. If you feel overwhelmed by what God is showing you in your life, it's a sign that it's true and you have a higher calling. If you feel out of your depth, that's because God is showing you that it's bigger than you. It's a sign. If you think, oh, I can't do this. This is too much. This is too crazy. How am I going to survive? Let me tell you something. In 2016, when my wife and I, we packed up everything that we owned into 5 suitcases. Now, we love living in Brisbane. Let me just clear that up. We just had our first son. We just got this beautiful inner city apartment. I bought our family a new car. I was living above my favorite coffee shop. It was 15 minutes train ride into the office. We're running a great youth ministry. I was loving life. And then when God called us, we had to push it away and pack our life into 5 suitcases. And I thought to myself, I can't do this. This is bigger than me. Yeah, it is. It's a sign that God is at work in your life. It's a hallmark. It's a characteristic. You should not assess the size of your future according to the opinion you have of yourself. Don't assess the size of your future according to the opinion you have of yourself. The Word of God, God has already said who you are. And He's asking you to let your light shine before men, before people, so that they may glorify your Father in heaven. It's bigger than you are. Do you feel overwhelmed, feel out of your depth? It's good. It means you're on the right track. I don't know, man. I got so many funny little examples. I remember a while ago, we'd just moved to Europe, and I was just traveling. I think I'd preached out 3 weekends in a row, and one week I think it was 8 or 9 preaching appointments. And I just got home, and my brother-in-law rings, and he says, "Hey, man, I'm running a youth camp right now. Look, you're back in the country. Do you just want to come and preach tomorrow?" And I thought to myself, oh, I don't really want to. But then I thought, my mother-in-law is going to kill me if I don't say yes. So anyway, I hopped on a train and caught it a few hours out into the middle of nowhere in the middle of Denmark. And I'm just going to be honest. I probably didn't turn up with a good attitude. I probably didn't turn up with good expectations. I thought, oh, okay, well, I guess it's just another sermon, it's just another preaching. And so I got up to preach, and I will just never, ever forget what happened. I opened my iPad and started preaching. Then the Holy Spirit just breaks out in the room. There were kids falling out into the aisle under the power of the Holy Spirit, and I'm just preaching, and then all of a sudden my translator just falls out under the power of the Holy Spirit, and then I'm like, what do I do? I'm untranslated. So I'm like, I just start praying for people, and then I grab this young person, I just started praying and prophesying over him. He just breaks out into tears and just falls down under the power of God. I turn to my brother-in-law, I'm like, what do I do? And he's like, that was the only other translator we have. So I'm like, you have no one else on the bench? Okay, so I just grabbed some people, and I saw a young guy with his finger bandaged. I was like, cool, ball, I don't know, I'm just going to pray for him. So I just prayed for him, and I didn't think anything happened. And then I was like, well, I don't know, what do I do? You go and pray for someone else. And anyway, it was crazy. And so we just kept praying, and then I was like, whoa, I did not expect this to happen. And so I finished and went and then just like chilled in the lounge, and half an hour later, 4 boys come up to me. And the first one was the guy who had his finger bandaged. He said, hey, you know when you prayed for me, God completely healed my finger. And then when you asked me to turn and pray for some people, I prayed for this guy next to me, and he had a knee injury from football. God completely healed him. So we turned and prayed for this other guy who had an elbow injury, and God healed him. And the fourth guy was like, I just saw all of that happen, and I just became a Christian. And as I sat there, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, "That's so much bigger than you, Joel. That's so much bigger than you and your expectations and your attitudes. It's bigger than you. You will walk into situations thinking, what on earth am I meant to do here? Well, you might not know, but God does. It's bigger than you. Do you feel overwhelmed or out of your depth? It's a sign that you're on the right track and that you have a higher calling. The second point is this. The second hallmark or sign is that it involves everything. It's bigger than you and it involves everything. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. Sorry. Just got to put a pause in there, you know. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. In all your ways. You know, when God looks at you, he doesn't look at you in sections. He doesn't look at you in compartments. When he looks at you, he sees the whole thing. You know, there's one part of you that flows into every area of your life. That is your character. Your character flows into every single part of who you are. So God's call for your life involves everything. I am a tragic football fan. And when I say football, I mean, you know, like, use your foot and there's a ball, you know, football. I'm an Arsenal Football Club supporter. And, yeah, that means nothing here. That's fine. That's okay. Okay, great. Yeah, it's been a rough time being an Arsenal supporter. Anyway, they've got this state-of-the-art training facility. It is crazy. I think they're like the fourth richest sporting club in the world. Their revenue something like $2 billion a year. Anyway, got this beautiful training center, and I love it because in massive words above the whole complex, it says, everything matters. Everything matters. And that's kind of like what life is like when it comes to walking with God, serving God. Everything matters. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 31 says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." So if God asks you to do some things that you don't think really lines up with where you think you're heading, that's okay. Because it's probably character building. Your call involves every area of your life. I remember just now standing here in the presence of Pastor Trish Natoko. When I did Bible college back in the day, I was asked to do a lot of things that I didn't think was associated with ministry. They had this sick idea, right? 2 hours a week, you know, I love my church time. That's what they called it. I love my church time. Yeah, really, like, basically, we had to, like, clean for 2 hours a week as a part of our internship. And it's like, well, what's the big deal? Now, for me, this was a particularly traumatic experience because they made me clean the windows. And you think, well, Joel, you're such a sook. What's the big idea? At least it's not the toilets. The whole church was made out of glass. There was like this glass wall in the foyer, which was as big as the Great Wall of China. It was huge. And I had 2 hours every week to get it done. Now, the other part of the story is I literally suck at cleaning windows. It's embarrassing. They paid professional people to come in and try and teach me how to do windows. And I still couldn't do it. We had a working bee in Copenhagen the other month. And they put me on windows, and like within 10 minutes, someone's like, bro, okay, we need to give that to somebody else because you don't know how to clean windows. I don't know why, but me and windows just don't work. But anyway, for a whole year. Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? Windows, oh, I love my church. Oh, I can't get this right. I hate this. This sucks. Oh, why do they got kids in this church? There's marks everywhere, and I can't even get away with not doing this one. And oh, I'm no good at this. Why are you? This annoys me so much. Why am I cleaning windows? Probably because there's some character and attitude issues that you need dealt with in your life. It involves everything. For you to be the person that God is calling you to be, sometimes He's going to ask you to do some things that you don't particularly like. But I have a piece of advice for you. Just do it anyway. Because the call of God for your life involves everything. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. Whether you're doing something that you like or whether you don't like, there is one thing that is for sure. The call of God on your life is built on your character. And unless you have good character, God can't do everything He wants you to do through your life. It involves everything. So I want to ask you tonight, is there something you might be hiding from God? Is there something you might be pushing back on God and saying, you know what, God? Yeah, I like everything else about what you're trying to do in my life. I don't want to do that. God's saying to you, it involves everything. If you want to do this, surrender all to Him and watch what He does with your life. The third and last thing is this, if the worship team want to come, is that there's a price. There is a price. It's bigger than you are. It involves everything, and there is a price. It's a characteristic of a higher calling. That's probably why it says in those two verses I mentioned before, rejoice, be glad, because you might need to be. Rejoice, yeah, it's going to be fine. It's going to be difficult sometimes, but be happy anyway. Matthew 16, 24 to 25. It says, then Jesus said to His disciples, if any of you wants to be My follower, you must give up your own way and take up your cross and follow Me. If you try and hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for My sake, you will save it. Philippians 1:29 says, you have been not only given the privilege of trusting Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for Him. What are you talking about, Joel? Suffering. Suffering. What do you mean suffering? Well, yeah, like, sure. Jesus suffered on the cross for us. Definitely. Yeah, it was all paid for on the cross. But then He turns to us and says, now pick up your cross and follow Me. You know, I have to make a bit of an apology. You know, sometimes as a preacher or a pastor, I might have been guilty in anesthetizing people about what this life is like when we follow Jesus. Everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be good. Well, yeah. Yes, God said He would be with you. Yes, God said He would provide for you. Yes, God said He would be your peace. Yes, God said He would be your strength. Yes, He said He would be your joy. But how do you know until it's put to the test? How do you know these things are even real until one day you wake up and you feel like it's not there? There's a price. Anything that is valuable has a price attached to it. Yes, Jesus paid for your salvation. Salvation is free, but to be a disciple will cost you everything. And there's a price. If you want true spiritual authority in your life, it's going to take some strong decisions, some tough decision-making sometimes. Sometimes it's not going to feel good or even seem fair. A friend of mine is a pastor in Germany, and he has this quote, which I love. He says, "We all want a vision. We all want a call, but we don't want to fight." We all want a vision. We all want a call, but we don't want to fight. But there's a price tag. There's a price tag attached to a higher calling. 3 weeks ago, I had this awesome guy, his name's Bjorn Lutke, come and speak at my Lift Leaders Summit in Copenhagen, and he has just the most incredible story. So he's German, and 25 years ago, him and his whole family moved to Marseille in the south of France. I actually had the privilege of going and preaching in their church, and it's honestly one of the only churches I would say that I've gone and ministered at where I have come away radically changed. But they moved 25 years ago. They were the first Germans since World War II to move to the area. So they moved into the central part called Pionier, which is completely mafia run. It is crazy. Drug trade, human trafficking. At the time, it was the worst criminal city all throughout Europe. And they moved there. And he said it was like the first 7 years was the 7 years from hell. In 7 years, they got broken into 15 times, lost everything. They would try and plant their church, and the mafia would come along and burn it down. Their kids would get spat on in the schoolyard because they were German. People hated them. It was impossible, almost impossible to do what God had called them to do. So the only thing they could do is they had this tiny little apartment. And so they started building their church by inviting in drug addicts and homeless people, and started that way. And then at the end of the 7 years, the worst thing imaginable happened. Their daughter Daria was 9 at the time, and she was on her way home from school. And in the square out in front of their apartment, just before she got in the door, some men got a hold of her and sexually abused her in front of their apartment. And obviously she made it inside. And I can't even imagine as a parent what that would feel like or what kind of scene that would be. And the parents, Bjorn and his wife, Britta, were absolutely distraught. They didn't know what to do. They were like, "God, all of this, you've called us here 7 years, and it's been nothing but difficulty and heartache, and now this." So the only thing they knew what to do was they just laid their hands on their daughter Daria and just prayed for her. At that moment, the Holy Spirit completely saturated her. She went out under the power of God. 15 minutes later, she wakes up. This is a 9-year-old. She says, "Mom, Dad, it's okay. I saw Jesus. He completely healed me." Said, "When I'm 16, this is what he told me. When I'm 16, I'm going to leave school and go to Bible college. When I'm 18, I'm going to find my husband. We're going to move back to Marseille, and we're going to minister to the criminals of this city for the rest of our life." Incredible. So Britta, as the awesome, strong mum she is, she runs out into the main square. At the top of her lungs, she just screams. She says, "I don't care what you do to us. You could break into our house. You could burn our buildings down. You can come after our children, but we will never, ever leave this city. This is God's city, and He's going to have His way in this city." The very next day, the mafia boss rings Bjorn and says, "I want to meet with you, and I never want to see you again." He sits down with him and he says, "I don't ever want to see you, but from this moment, no one will bother you, and you will be known as EPP, which in French stands for Evangelical Protestant, something or other church. I can't speak French." And to this day, they have 3 churches in Marseille, two others in other parts of France, one in Austria and two in Israel. God is blessing their ministry. And the senior pastors of that church are now Daria and her husband. She's the only female chaplain in a French prison in the whole country, ministering to the criminals of the city. Incredible. But that was a price. That was a price. Now, I'm not for a moment suggesting that you should go and deliberately put yourself in harm's way. I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't do everything we can to protect our children and ourselves. But I will say this. At some point, God might ask you to lay some things down. At some point, there might be some kind of price to pay. But will you do it? Will you do it? It's a sign. It's a mark. It's a hallmark of a higher calling. There's one other thing about hallmarks. Before the way a hallmarking system works, before a manufacturer sends the article, the ring or whatever it is to the testing agency, they have to put a mark on it first. That's called a responsibility mark. Saying, well, whether you find it valuable or whether you agree with me or not, I put my name to this item. I take responsibility for its value, for its genuineness, and for its purity. There might be signs in our lives. Some of you might be sitting here thinking, yeah, that's me. That's a mark on my life. I just feel overwhelmed sometimes. It's bigger than me. Or, you know, why does it involve this? Or why do I feel like I have to pay a price? That's a sign, but God promises that He takes responsibility. If He puts you up to the challenge, it's because He believes you have what it takes. He believes you are the genuine article. He is the one that has created you for this. Your higher calling. I want to pray for some people here tonight. If we could just close our eyes and bow our heads right now. If you feel like you're going through a bit of a process right now where you're discovering that life isn't all that it seems, this message is resonating with you, I'd just love you to slip up your hand and I'd like to pray for you, lead you in a prayer. If you feel like God is challenging you or stirring some things in your life, just put up your hand and I'd love to pray. Amazing. Amazing. Father God, you see those people. Father God, you know what they're going through right now. Holy Spirit, I pray, come and minister them right now. Lord, fill them full of courage. Fill them full of strength and joy. God, that you would show them that you believe in them. And even though it seems overwhelming sometimes, God, you say they have what it takes. God, I pray, give them the strength to endure till the very end, because this hope that we carry will not disappoint. It won't disappoint. Thank you, Father God. Holy Spirit, I just pray for all of us here tonight. God, that you would help us be open to hear your promptings, your voice. God, that we wouldn't shy away from what you're asking us to be obedient to. I pray that you would come and just do a ministering work here, Lord, that people wouldn't receive this with fear, but God, that they would receive this with faith because of the incredible things you want to do. In Jesus' name.